It is a pleasure to stand up here in front of you folks today. Welcome to the Alabama League of the South building, and welcome to the 2017 League of the South National Conference. You're our guests. We want you to have a great time today. It's my honor and privilege to stand up here at the same podium that our speaker shared yesterday and so far today, and Dr. Duke going to assume this position up here after I finish. So it's my honor to be here, and it's my honor to speak to you today. We call this conference a sort of preparation time for this period that we have here that God has given us, I think, that may be sort of a hiatus. I try to imagine what it would have been like had Hillary Clinton been president right now, and things would have been somewhat different. Now, I was not a Trump supporter, and I know that most League people were not either, but we certainly, that people always say, well, if you weren't a Trump supporter, does that mean you supported Hillary? Yeah, right. But the point is that God may be giving us here a respite.
That's right.
A time to prepare. Because I will guarantee you this. I know the left well enough. I've looked these people in the eye close up. I know them well enough to know that when they get back in power, and I'm not saying if they get back in power, I'm saying when they get back in power, they're going to have blood in their eye. And the blood they've got in their eye is yours. And that's why we cannot sit here and say, we got a 4 or 8 year vacation because, well, Trump may not be exactly what we want him to be for us as nationalists, but, you know, at least he ain't Hillary Clinton, and at least he's not doing this or doing that, at least he's gonna maybe try to do something about immigration and all this other stuff. Now, if we sit by and hope, and that's all we do, we will perish.
That's right.
I want to talk to you today about war. War is a common human activity. I've studied it, viewed it, seen it. It's a glorious thing and it's an ugly thing. It's not something that you would wish on your family because it's destruction and death and all of the things that go with it in this sinful world. But sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary. And we are already, my friends, at war. It's just that, oh, not you, you know it. Because I see, saw a lot of you nodding your heads. You know what I'm saying. But most of our people don't. They have no idea that there's a war going on. And look, most people will say, oh yeah, I understand that, because man, I'm seeing all these Muslims blowing all this stuff up in Europe and running into people with automobiles and stabbing people with knives, and man, it even happens here. Well, yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. But that's the new part of it. We've been at war for quite some time, and I will give you one general statistic that will make you believe that. And that is, over the past 40 years, the number of black-on-white violent crimes and murders has been astronomical. There is a war against you, white man and white woman, in the streets of our cities. When I was a boy, we used to go up to Birmingham a lot because we had a lot of relatives and kin folks that lived up there. And my mama and my grandmama and all my aunts and everything would go shopping downtown. Can you imagine going shopping downtown if you're a bunch of ladies by yourself in Birmingham, presuming there was anywhere to shop downtown anymore. But could you just imagine that happening in 2017 like it happened in 1960?
That's right.
And we got to ask ourselves, why that happened? Why is Birmingham, Memphis, I know we got some of our friends from Memphis here today, Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Atlanta, I mean, you name it, every southern city, no fit place for a lady to walk around in the middle of the day, much less the night.
That's right.
Is because we have been at war for the last two generations.
That's right.
And most of us haven't even known it.
That's right.
We have lost. You know what this means? When you start losing control of your cities and your women folk and children can't walk in them, you have lost control of your civilization.
That's right.
You have lost it. Now, we haven't lost it completely. I know a lot of people say, I don't give a damn what happens in the big cities. I live out in the country. Or I live in a small town. Well, that's good. I live out in the country too. But I do, from time to time, either A, have to, or B, want to, go to a big city for something. And my children, and my wife, and my other female kinfolks, and for that matter, male kinfolks, have to do the same thing. And friends, they are walking into a war zone.
That's right. That's right.
A place where they very easily could be killed or injured.
That's right.
Does that sound like we have control of our civilization?
No.
Not no, but hell no. So, you know, not to belabor the point too long, but we've had this war going on now for two generations. And it started back with that accursed thing called the Civil Rights Movement.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There was a time when the South was white man's land.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It wasn't just back there in 1860.
That's right.
That's right.
It was in 1960.
That's right. Right.
And you know what? If it's going to be what it ought to be for us Southern Nationals in the future, and not just for us, but for our children and grandchildren,
that's right.
We're going to have to make it that again.
That's right.
We're going to have to make it that again. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of forces, very evil forces, as Tiny Malone mentioned this morning when he was up here, very evil forces that are out there that have subverted our land and our civilization, and that will do everything humanly and diabolically possible to keep us from restoring this civilization for our people. And that is why the war is inevitable. That's why this war is inevitable. Because if it isn't inevitable, you don't want to know the scenario that would play out. And just in a word or two words, I can tell you, our demise, we would be gone. Swept into that old proverbial dustbin of history. And you know, I don't want to see that. And I think that every man in the South who dares to call himself a man should bristle at the fact that our enemies are loose now and gaining on us every day, pushing us further into a corner every day. Now, I know some of you, I've known some of you for a long time, a quarter of a century. I just met some of you today or yesterday. But I know that you are not going to allow this to happen if you can do anything about it. But folks, right now, we are outnumbered.
We are.
We are out-resourced. Now, that's no reason to hang your head and say all is lost. And it's certainly no reason not to stand up and play the man, as the Bible says.
That's right. Amen.
But as R.G. has pointed out in his fine talk that preceded mine, we are going to start having to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other in whatever groups we belong to.
That's right.
And we may not all have the same immediate or short or medium-term goals, but in the long term, I think that we would all agree that the preservation and advancement of our civilization in the South and elsewhere should be of paramount importance. Because look, this is a blessing. What we have been given as a people, and I'm talking here just about the Southern people, but look, my heart goes out to my fellow kinsmen in England, in France, in Norway, in Sweden, in all of the European countries that are being overwhelmed. But as R.G. pointed out, my immediate concern is with the South. That is where I am. That is where I will fight my battle, God willing.
Amen. Amen.
So we are at war, and when you're at war, you better find your tribe.
That's right.
You better find your allies. And that is one reason that I'm elated to see this building filled up today. Because this means that we have people coming together here who realize the seriousness of this situation and are pledged to do something about it. Now, I would rather, and I thought for a long time that, I'd have a career teaching history at some college, and retire and spend my old days with my wife and my children and grandchildren, go fishing, hunting, stuff that I've always done as a boy and a young man that would be pleasurable to do with my kids and my grandkids. Sometimes God takes you down a road that you didn't know you were going to be traveling. But let me tell you this. He always prepares you for it. He always prepares you for it. And I can look back now at age 65 and see some things about my own particular childhood and when I was a young man that had I known it then, and I may have known it in a somewhat general way, but I know it specifically now, those things were preparing me for this fight. And I think if you look back in your life, you could probably see some of the same things that were happening or maybe are happening right now if you're kind of a young person. A young person needs somebody under 50. So my bottle makes you feel good. But look, this whole idea of being a warrior should not be foreign to you as a Southerner. Our history, our traditions, our culture stretching back into the mist of antiquity is that of a warrior. And what mystifies me beyond all understanding is how we have let ourselves be talked out of that role. We have been persuaded by lies.
That's right.
To become nothing more than rootless consumers, having to buy all the junk and go along with all the trends and popular culture of this regime, of this God-forsaken empire. And it is God-forsaken. And it will fall. I just don't want to fall with it. I mean, you can look. It is modern Babylon. So that means that we have a responsibility. If we come from a warrior people, let's reassert that warrior spirit.
Amen.
And I know that this room is full of warriors.
Amen.
I know, as I said, I've known some of you for a long time. I know your history and I know your background. I've stood with some of you on the front lines. And I know some other folks that I've met just recently. I know their backgrounds and I know what they can do. But folks, we have got to beat the bushes all across the state of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, all across Dixie, and find our compatriots. And again, we all don't have to agree on everything. We all don't have to be of the same particular denomination. We don't all have to agree on everything. But if we cannot agree on everything, let us agree on what I said before. Our civilization is in dire distress, and it needs its men and women to come to its aid now. Now. It is a joy to fight in a righteous cause. I cannot think of a more joyous blessing than to struggle for your God, your people, your land, and your civilization. That is much more glorious to me than buying a bass boat or a big color TV and watching my favorite football team win. But so many of our people are caught up in this. It's an easy life. It's an acceptable life. It's a life of pleasure. It's a life. It's all the siren song that lures our people from that role of being a hardened warrior into being a soft and malleable, rootless drone of this empire. You do not want to be that. And when I say you, I'm not talking about you folks in here. I'm talking to those people outside these walls who should be in here today, who should be in our organization. We must reach them. The hour is late, and the time is crucial. We have no time to waste, and we have great odds against us. But we will prevail by the grace of God. Amen. By the strong arm of the Lord of hosts, we will prevail. I'm no preacher and I'm no theologian. I love reading my Bible and I love drawing inspiration from it and lessons from it. And one that I always look to is the inspirational story of Gideon and his 300. And look, all that tells you is that God is not constrained to save by the many or by the few. He can take 300 men and defeat 10,000.
Amen.
He has, and for our sake and the sake of our unborn, those unborn generations of Southerners yet to come, may he do this again.
Amen.
But we cannot wait until all of our people across this beautiful land that we call home, we cannot wait for them to awaken. Because the enemy, just like we saw standing there at Lee Circle in New Orleans, the enemy is marching down the street. This God-forsaken, deviant horde is marching down the street to us. And I look behind me, as Mike Tubbs related yesterday, at these few men in uniform holding these wonderful, beautiful flags that represent everything about us, standing there, steely-eyed, their chest out, saying, come and get us.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to stand on that line someday with all of you. And I want to look at you, and I want you to look at me in the eyes, and I want us to understand without saying a word that victory is going to be ours, and we're going to take our enemies, and we're going to treat them just like Samuel treated Agag. That's another story I like, and I have my youngest grandson is named Samuel, and I'm absolutely proud of that. But we stand on this front line, my friends, waiting for the rest of our people to awaken. And we can't abandon this front line and let the enemy break through it, because that right now there is very little or nothing behind it. We stand here without relief and without right now the possibility of any relief. People come to me and say, man, you've been doing this for almost a quarter of a century. I don't see how you do it. Well, first of all, I like it. And secondly, God has equipped me for it. It's nothing that I've done. He's equipped me to do this. And I thank Him every day for the privilege of being able to fight in this battle. So we stand here by the grace of God through the strength that He gives us. But it does become wearying because we are flesh and blood. And we look behind us, casting a furtive glance over our shoulders. When are they coming? When are the reinforcements coming? We're getting low on ammo. The enemy's growing in strength and number. And we must hold. That's the situation that we, as Southern Nationalists, are in right now. The hordes are marching down the streets, across the fields. And there has never been any doubt about what their goal is. It's the destruction of everything that bears the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the enemy. They know it. That is like waving, you know, a red flag in front of a mad bull.
Right.
It enrages them. I mean, I saw this. We were standing 10 or 15 feet, and I can attest this from Mike Tubbs in New Orleans and Ike Baker in Pikeville, Kentucky. We were standing a short distance from these people, and you could smell the hate. You could see it in their eyes. You could also smell them, too. Folks, I'll just say it. We're up against the devil's children.
That's right.
We're up against the devil's children. The devil's own army.
That's right.
And man, if that does not make you want to fight, I don't know what will. To be able to fight against the devil's own army.
That's right.
What a privilege.
Amen.
So, we need to go out of here and we need to convince our kinfolks, our friends, the people that we work with and go to church with, hey, all is not well. We're at war, and most of us don't even know it.
Right.
Some of us do, and some of us are fighting. Fighting in ways, many different ways. And wars like this are not always fought in the traditional sense with blade weapons or in the modern era with explosives, modern weaponry. Although those things do come into play. These wars are fought on many different fronts. They're fought on the spiritual front, absolutely. They're fought on the intellectual front. You can't know, you can't be a good warrior unless you know what you're fighting for. And you've got to have a thorough understanding of what it is that you are willing to shed your blood for, more importantly, and more preferably, shedding someone else's blood.
That's right. That's right.
You got to know it.
Yep.
You know, our ancestors prided themselves in long ago on being warrior poets.
That's right.
Smart men, intellectual men, strong men.
That's right.
Mean, tough men. In other words, they had every facet of the characteristic of a man covered. Here, here, and here. And that's what makes a warrior. Develop yourself. We all can get better at what we do. It's going to demand it. And look, this is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year calling.
Right.
Now, you're not doing the same thing all the time, but I'll guarantee you that when you sit down on Sunday morning to read your Bible and pray, the warfare that you're engaging in right there is just as important as the time that you spend on the range or with your PT time.
That's right.
You be a well-rounded warrior. You be a warrior that those men looking down from heaven right now, men like General Lee and General Jackson, and my own personal favorite, Miss Pat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. You strive to be someone they will be proud of. They will be proud to say, hey, that's my blood. That's my blood down there doing that. And look, folks. Desperate situation, yes. But think about who we are. When you learn who we are, you will not despair. You will get down on your knees and thank God for creating you the man or woman that you are. And I look around me and I see my brothers and sisters. You look like me. You think like me. Civilization means the same to you as it does to me in a general sense. We may have different preferences. Hell, you may like Auburn and I may like Alabama. But we don't waste our time on such trivialities, do we? No. We are a race of conquerors.
That's right.
Inventors. Explorers who created the greatest civilization by far that the world has ever known.
That's right. Yeah.
And because of that, why should we expect anything less than victory? Our people are victors.
That's right.
We have always been victors, but we have allowed ourselves to be beguiled.
That's right, beguiled.
To be beguiled into fighting each other.
Yep.
On too many occasions. Too many occasions.
That's right.
It, you know, when I was a young man, I kind of had a volatile temper. And I didn't mind mixing it up with people when it was necessary. But most of the people I mixed it up with were people just like me. White boys. I look back on that and I say, man, what a dumbass thing to be doing. Beating the crap out of each other. When you got a world full of, I mean, you know, at that time we were probably 15 or 20% of the world's population. I think we're down to about 8 now.
That's
and
right.
Here we are beating the crap out of each other. Well, you know, I learned a little bit later on, that's just what people like me do. When we ain't got anybody else to fight, we'll fight each other.
That's right.
Keeps us in good shape, I guess, but it doesn't do much for getting us out of the predicament we're in, which is that we are surrounded by enemies, and those are the people that need to be on the receiving end of our attention. So today, you know, people make me mad in traffic a lot. I find myself cussing under my breath, and I almost want to pull up and roll down the window and start, you know, doing all kind of stuff. I look over there, and there's a guy who's, you know, 30 years old, looked like me maybe when I was 30. And I said, I don't have anything that serious to deal with my brother here.
Right.
You know, it's not worth it. So I just nod at him like, hey, watch it. You know, but I'm not going to start anything. And at my age, it's probably a good thing too. I sometimes still think I'm 30, but I'm not. So that can be dangerous. But my point is, we don't need to be fighting each other.
That's right. Amen.
And the thing that makes me angry is when I see our people trying to pull things over on other of our people. I don't like it. I like it when we cooperate.
Amen.
I like it when I can look at my brother in the face and smile instead of, you know, frowning at him and you know, all the other things that go along with that. I like that. Because I realize that we've got to do this. This is not just a matter of preference. It's just not just a matter of saying, well, I prefer this to that. It's a matter of necessity. Because we're at war. It's not coming. It's here. And it grows worse every day. And that begs the question, what do? We organize. We tribe up, as some people call it. Find our tribe. We train. I can't emphasize to you enough how necessary it is for you to know how to defend yourselves. Pastor Weaver yesterday gave a wonderful talk starting off the conference on self-defense and safety. You just can't expect that to happen without developing the skills that are necessary for it. And I know a lot of you out there got some skills. And that's good. Keep them sharp. And those of you who don't have any skills or don't have enough, you don't think, go develop them. Make that a priority. Get yourself in shape. Look, that's a losing battle for me in the end, I know. But I'm going to keep myself in good enough shape by going to the gym, working out, eating well, and doing all the things I know I'm supposed to do. Because when that day finally comes that the good Lord puts an enemy in front of me whose real intent immediately is to kill me, I'm going to know what to do, and I'm going to have the physical skills and the strength and stamina, God willing, to do it. Now, that may be my only opportunity, but it may be a life and death situation, and you never know when that's coming.
That's right.
I mean, if you're waiting for some imaginary enemy in uniforms to march down your street, you may be waiting a while. But you may be the victim of a mugging today. And that's just as much an attack on you and your civilization
That's right.
as it is to have an official, you know, army out there in front of you.
Right.
So you better be prepared. The war is not going to be the kind of war that I've studied throughout my 4 years as a historian. This is a fourth generation war to the maximum.
Yep.
And that means that the battlefield is everywhere and the enemy is legion.
Yep.
The enemy doesn't necessarily wear a uniform. And sometimes you can tell the enemy because the skin he's wearing becomes his uniform.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So we are in a fight in which is all encompassing. That is not something that most people want to think about. I know people who say, look, if I have to go out of my door every day into a war zone, and I can't live my life normally, I don't even know if I want to go out the door. Okay, that's your choice. Stay in the house. But if you go out of the door, understand this. You can wish that it was not a war zone, but that does not make it so. We need to make our brothers and sisters aware of this. I think on some level they are, but they think that, okay, well, today we may have a war zone in Atlanta, or we may have a war zone in Memphis, but we don't have a war zone in Wetumpka. It can go hot any second.
Yep.
And if you're not prepared, that may be your last second on this planet.
That's right. Absolutely.
This is not an uncomfortable way for me to live now that I've gotten used to it. It took me a little while to get used to it, but now it is the standard operating procedure for me. Make it the same for you. It will rub off on your compatriots, and you will feel like you are ready when the time comes. Not if the time should come, but when the time comes. Because these people that I've been telling you about, this diabolical horde out there, is not going to stop until they destroy everything that you hold holy and righteous and good. That is their goal. You cannot talk them out of it. I know so many people, bless their hearts. And you know when a Southerner says, bless their hearts, he's about to level into it with some criticism. They believe, and I'm not calling any organizational names or anything like that, but they believe if you can just teach them the right history about, for example, the Confederate flag, that they'll all become Confederate flag lovers tomorrow. That ain't true. That ain't happening. These people know what the Confederate flag stands for.
That's right.
They know what those monuments in New Orleans stand for.
That's right.
They stand for you.
That's right.
And when they finish with the stone and the fabric, they're coming after the flesh. They're coming after you.
Absolutely.
Don't ever doubt that. Prepare yourself psychologically for that. Prepare yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually for that. Because we are at war.
We are.
And you know, we didn't start it.
That's right.
Jefferson Davis, God rest his soul, said a long time ago, all we want is to be left alone.
That's right. That's right.
Now, looking back on it, that was rather naive. It was. I hate to criticize President Davis, but that was a little bit naive. These people, by their very nature, children of the father of lies, are incapable of leaving you alone as long as you have the image of the true and living God in you. Because from the beginning in Eden, the battle lines were drawn. And Genesis 3:15 tells us about what's happening. So here we are. Don't expect any less. You've been told about it. If you've read your Bible, you know it. You know what's afoot. And you know it's not going to stop. But I'll tell you something else you also know too, if you've read your Bible. We win.
Amen.
We win. Let me tell you something else. That doesn't mean that you're going to dance through the battle unscathed or unbloodied.
That's right.
You may die.
That's right.
You may die a gruesome death, just like many of the martyrs and saints died. You've got no guarantee that you're going to be there at the victory celebration. Oh, but once that first death is over and the sting of the second death is gone, you will be there with your compatriots to celebrate. You will not be raptured out. You ain't going to be raptured out. And I'll tell you why. You're going to be there to fight. You can't fight if you're floating up in the sky up there. You're going to be down here. You're going to be down here. So get used to that. The rapture ain't coming to take you away from this. You better get ready to fight. It's coming. It's coming. Now, we're going to win. Maybe tough. We may die. Maybe really, really ugly for a while. And I expect it will be. But we are the encampment of the saints.
That's right, we are.
This is the camp of the saints that's been compassed around and is being compassed around with the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people.
That's right.
We don't expect any less than that. We're told about this. So the battle lines are drawn. The war's already started.
That's right.
If I had a watch on, I'd look at it. Where are our people? You know, everything started already. Where are they? It is our job to get them in the field.
Right.
We go from here. We alert them. We say, look, the enemy's there. Let's go.
That's right.
He's there. Let's go get him.
That's right.
Find your niche. Now, everybody can't be, run and gun warriors on the front line anymore. I mean, some of us are just too broken down and old to do that. But we got skills, and we got a lot of young guys in here who can do that.
That's right.
So also, if you're old, if you're sick, if you're not capable of being a frontline warrior, that doesn't mean that you don't have a part in this battle, in this war. Everybody can do something. We created something in the league called the Southern Defense Force. And everybody thinks, it's just a bunch of young guys running around with, AR-15s or AKs or whatever, plate carriers and stuff like that. There'll be some of that. But eventually, everybody in the league will have a place in the Southern Defense Force, be it in intelligence, logistics, you name it. There's always something for us to do. And when we look at it that way, we become the army of the true and living God.
That's right.
And what a privilege, again, to stand in the ranks of such an army.
Amen.
So here we are, 2017, the year's almost half up. What are we going to do with the time? This respite that we have, maybe another 3.5 years, maybe another 7.5. Who knows? Everything may just completely go to hell tomorrow. Start work now. You can never get anything perfect. But somebody the other day said, I think that perfect is the enemy of the good. Let's do what we can. We can never get everything perfect. All the ducks line. Now we're ready. Everything is perfect in place. We better be as ready as we can be with whatever we have at hand when the time comes. And the time is close at hand when everybody among our people will realize just how serious and immediate this conflict is. My one prayer short prayer would be from Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Lee, General Lee, loved that psalm. And it's understandable why he would. And when God teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight, we need to remember what that gentleman over there to my left and your right on the wall there in the middle said, right down at the bottom of his portrait. War means fighting, and fighting means killing.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Better get your mind right.
That's right. Yeah.
My people are Celts.
Amen.
I have admixtures of our European folk mixed in with mine, but it's mainly Celtic, Scots, Irish, Welsh. And I've developed an interest and a love for my native language, Gaelic, back when I was a young man. And it's the language of poets and the language of warriors. There's a great Celtic language slogan, Bue no Bosh. Bue no Bosh. It means victory or death.
Amen.
The last thing that our enemy wants to see is that look in our eyes that is transformed. referring to them, that slogan, victory or death. In other words, we're here, and we're going to fight and prevail, or we're going to fight and die. And you also know about about Mr. Quantrill. What sort of flag did Mr. Quantrill fly?
Black
flag, wasn't it? You know what the black flag means?
No prisoner.
No quarter asked and none given. See, our enemy wants us to be afraid. When you show them no fear in your eyes, when you show them the black flag, and I'm closing out here by using the words or something associated with three of our generals, General Lee, General Forrest, and lastly here, General Jackson. And I'll paraphrase him. General Jackson once said, when talking about the immoral invasion of our ancestors in their lands, raise the black flag and kill them all. When you take that attitude, we're not starting anything. This thing has already been started. But let me tell you this, by the grace of God, we shall finish it. We shall finish it. Finish it in an Old Testament manner.
That's right, Old Testament.
With the black flag.
That's right.
Destroying completely the enemies of our land,
right,
our people, and our God.
That's right.
And that is our duty to Him,
that's right,
to ourselves, to our people, to our civilization.
Right.
We have the eyes of heroes looking down on us. Let us not fail to live up to the honorable blood that flows in our veins. We shall be more than conquerors. May God bless you, and may God save the South. Thank you.